Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone. Breaking It Down, Frank McKay, much more important. Diane Brisky, she's the author of The Wonderful, Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction, a wonderful book. Everyone should get it. Get it on Amazon and anywhere else they sell wonderful books. And Diane, how are you?
I'm fine, Frank. Thank you.
Yeah, I know you had a little surgery recently. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. It's healing slowly, but I'm back. Not to make a pun.
Yeah,
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So listen, our prayers are with you and our thoughts are with you. The work that you're doing is just wonderful. You're bringing awareness to species and to really to kids. You spent a lot of time with kids in your life, and let me just start out by asking you, how important is it to learn early on about what we can do for the environment, what we can do for wildlife? Because later on, it's people are set in their ways. If we don't get them early, we're going to lose them. Am I right?
Yeah, that's very, very true. And I've always said that the kids of today, even starting, I taught my children when I taught preschool, if you get them now, they're going to be the future wildlife environmentalists and naturalists. And to make them aware of what's happening now, which to me is getting worse, to get them at that early age is important to me, is very important to me. And I hope that it comes through in my book to make not just the children, but adults aware that it's an ongoing problem, and it's not going to stop unless we have more people involved.
What do you think brings it to, obviously, events like your book coming out? I think certain shows, Steve Irwin, the late great Steve Irwin, was somebody that was bringing wildlife into your home, into kids' homes. Marlon Perkins, the late great Marlon Perkins, was another one who brought this. It's shows like that they do a lot more than just entertain us. They educate us, and they also make us aware of issues that are there. And more than that, it makes the kids aware. Am I right about that?
Yeah, yes, you're very, very right about that. In fact, one of the shows that I always watched when I was teaching was Jeff Corwin, when he had his explorations. He went all over the world. And in fact, he's a special idol of mine because now he has ocean exploring. He comes from the Atlanta Aquarium. And not only does he talk about the oceans and the rivers, but he also brings in the research that they're doing. He goes out on the ships, on the boats with these people that dive, and then they take pictures on there, and then they bring it back. They will go down, and recently there was a show by him where they went to, I believe it was off the Bahamas or the Cayman Islands, it was in the tropics, where people could go in and wade with stingrays. Yeah. Now, you know that stingrays have a venomous barbs,
yes,
on their,
yes,
tail, but they wouldn't let people go in unless it was a safety factor. I don't believe in that. Wild animals should not be treated as pets. And to go in and swim with the dolphins, go and pet the stingrays, that's telling people that, well, okay, if I'm on vacation and I go swimming, if a ray comes up, I can pet them. They're tame. They are not. They are wild animals, and they should be treated. He was in there with research team of biologists, marine biologists. They were bringing up, and these rays were humongous. It would took like 4 or 5 people to bring them up onto a boat so that they could do an ultrasound to see if the females were pregnant. And if they were, they tagged them so that if they were brought up again or they dove, whatever the gestation period is, and saw a little ray, then they knew that one of them had given birth. And that's the kind of research they're doing.
Yeah.
And the public doesn't understand that. You know, they are creating artificial corals in laboratories, in cultures, in order to replant the ocean. Now, down in the ocean, the corals are dying off. If you've seen pictures on documentaries and that, the corals, which are should be vibrant colors, like they are in aquariums, are gray. And that's because they're dying. They're dying because some of the animals eat the algae off of them, like the sea turtles do. Starfish, which we think are, you know, gorgeous to watch, they're killing the coral because they crawl around on that. And so they're taking the cultures that they have in their labs and they're replanting them in the hopes that eventually they will have another garden of coral.
Yeah.
Now, you can't take it away that, yes, these animals survive on that. But the other reason that the coral is dying is the temperature of the water. And I know that a lot of the legislatures now say, oh, there's no such thing as climate problems.
Oh,
well, there is.
Of course.
Because if the sun is radiating too much, the water where the coral is trying to survive is at a temperature where it can't. And it's causing them to turn gray. The weather is actually killing them.
Let me jump in for a second. I'm going to remind folks that are just tuning in or just turning on their radios. Diane Brisky is our very special guest, and she is an environmentalist, and she's an educator. She has done so much with her life, dedicated to preserving the way of life for the folks without a voice, and that's the sea creatures and land creatures. Now You See Me, from Endangered to Extinction, is the name of the wonderful book. Please get it. It's on Amazon. Diane, let me just point out that I don't think there's a serious or somebody to be taken serious as a scientist who doesn't believe in climate change. I mean, let's face it.
Right.
I mean, there's so much proof and there's so much evidence. It's ridiculous. It's like we're burying our head in the sand if we mm-hmm. think that there's no climate change. The evidence is all around us.
Yeah, and why they are turning their head to that. I know Al Gore has done documentaries on that. He's proven it. I mean, you can read books. You can watch the Animal Channel. The ice is melting in the Arctic.
Yeah.
And that the Arctic holds so much wildlife. And it's not just the sea mammals. It's the fish. You know, the fish are a staple for the polar bears. The seals eat the fish. The polar bears eat the seals. But with the ice caps floating and melting, there's no chance for them to survive. They have to swim farther and farther. And it's not like they're motorized and they just, you know, pull a string and they shoot all the way up to a higher ground. That's their home. That's their habitat. And people don't understand that it's not just the fact that it's climate change, but, and I get on my soap opera with this, it is desecration of their habitats. And it all boils down to money.
Yeah.
Now, they are, and I don't know if they axed it, but they were going to put a pipeline under the Arctic. Now, we all know that the one that they had, the one off the coast of the Gulf,
yeah.
How much wildlife did we lose there?
Lots.
Water birds, fish, sea mammals. Once they get that on their wrappings, as I call them, their fur and their feathers and that, there's not enough volunteers. Some people are there 24 hours a day. They came from research labs. They came from zoos to try to get the oil off these animals. And that's fine to put them back, but you're going to put them back in an environment that is still doing that, because that oil doesn't go away in a day. It's still there. And it clogs up their pores. And they can't breathe, literally cannot breathe. Because a lot, say, for example, the sea otter, they are always grooming themselves because they have a natural oil.
Yeah.
Well, you have your natural oil, and then it's covered with crude oil. So that takes the life out of them. And they put, you've seen them floating on their back. And they take their little paws and, you know, it looks like they're itching themselves. But what they're doing is they're spreading that natural oil on themselves because they're off the coast. They're in the Pacific Ocean and it's very, very cold. So that coating protects their fur. But if it's clogged with crude oil, they're destined for death. There's nothing you can do about it. And that oil, it doesn't just stay on the surface. I believe it sinks down. So it's not just the animals that are suffering. It's the plant life. And you just cannot get people to understand. I'm not talking about people like you and I. You can't get high people in high places to understand that. You know, once you lose a species, you're not going to get it back. If you have, say, yeah, God forbid, one tiger, and it's a male. Well, if the species is down to 10, what are the chances that there's going to be a female?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are opposed to zoos, and because they take them, but they don't take animals out of the wild. I want to make that clear. They are reproducing, and one of the biggest zoos, the Cincinnati Zoo, is very good at the reproduction of their animals. And then they trade them, you know, to another zoo for something else. But the reproduction in the zoos, they're not going to put them back in the wild. They'd be stupid to do that. But they are increasing the numbers. And when I was still teaching in the summertime, when I went on my photo journeys, I happened to pass the zebras. And now the Grevy zebra and the Grant zebra they're not exactly on the endangered species list, but their numbers are kind of teeter-toeing. And I stopped and I looked at them. And you can usually, they say animals have no feelings. Well, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
You can look in an animal's eyes and tell if they're happy or not. These zebras were running around and kicking their legs and rolling in the dirt. And I said, you know, I thought to myself, what would happen when my little kids grow up and there's no zebras? You're going to point in the book and say, oh, look at, this is what a zebra used to look like. That I hope that in my lifetime that never comes to be. But in fact, I was watching television yesterday, and it was Ellen DeGeneres' birthday. And she was given, she's a big gorilla person.
Yeah.
And her idol, it was Dian Fossey.
Yeah.
And she went on a vacation there. I don't know if she got up. But the mountain gorillas was Diane Fossey's forte. She studied them for years. And she was given a gift of money to build a preserve, but an educational facility to continue Diane Fossey's work. Now, we're talking probably millions of dollars. And that is one thing. Now, they said on there that there's less than 800 mountain gorillas left.
Wow.
And the only place you can find them is in the mountains of Africa. You know, so if the habitats, which are getting closer to, you know, spreading out, you know, it's almost like a world war against animals.
It really is. It's like genocide, you know, in animal form. Let me remind folks who they're listening to. Diane Brisky, just a wonderful environmentalist, and she's trying to bring awareness just out of the goodness of her heart, and she knows firsthand what needs to be done. Her wonderful book is available on Amazon, and we encourage everyone to get that book. A couple things that you said, Diane, you mentioned that Al Gore did work on climate change. Not only did he do work, but he was recognized by the Nobel Peace Prize in 2007 for the work that he did. He did tremendous work on this. Anybody who is not convinced that global change is or climate change rather is real is foolish. Is just an absolute fool. And if they want to stick their head in the sand, they certainly can, but they're affecting the rest of the world, not just us, not just our country, but the rest of the world. And I think I told you I did a trip to Africa and on a photo safari, and I went on three different safaris in three different parks, and these animals are beautiful, but there are poachers just waiting in the wings, just waiting to they would slaughter every animal. They do not care. They don't care about those 800 gorillas. They don't care about that. And you're right about the Cincinnati Zoo. I think it was Jack Hanna who came out of the Cincinnati Zoo and did such great work.
Yeah, he was out of the Columbus Zoo, but he does. In fact, I watch his programs too. He's the director emeritus, and he has his show. And the Columbus Zoo, besides the Cincinnati, are very good at reproduction of their animals.
In fact, the
Columbus Zoo also has an aquarium in there with them.
What could we do to help as citizens, folks listening to this? What can they do just to start getting the awareness out? Obviously, get your book, listen to these programs. We encourage everyone to binge listen to everything that we've done together. But what can we do? Is it teaching? Is it education? What can we do?
Right. It is it's education. The research that's being done, there's a need for more biologists and naturalists. And just the fact that, you're right, it's education. And what the people can do is to join organizations, and I know money is tight with everybody, but even $5 sent to the International Foundation of Animal Welfare, IFAW, the Worldwide Federation, Wildlife Federation, those little things, they'll take anything. They're nonprofit. All of that goes back into their research, goes back into the protection of animals, and their legislatures. Now, they've got lobbyists. I know that everything is in the news now. But just the very fact, and I don't want to get political here, but it really burns my buns. A certain party has lifted the ban on ivory. Now, there's like three or four different kinds of elephants, all right? And ivory is a big commodity in Africa. They will shoot a female that has a calf, and they can't just saw the, like, you know, take your tooth out where it is. Their tusks go all the way to the back into their jaw. So they have to cut the whole thing out because that's more money. Well, some of the research companies or the people on the preserves, they're piling it up when they catch these poachers and they're burning it. It's supply and demand. But now that the band is off, it's like saying, okay, the gate's open. Come on, poachers, take what you want. And that they don't realize that our own government is causing a downfall. I mean, they're just animals. Who cares? Well, we're getting some good results with animals as far as our own medicinal purposes, and they don't understand that. And that's what really is the problem, is government facilities. And it's not just the habitation, the global warming. It's also the research that they do. And just have them realize that, look, you know, they're part of this world. And they've been there before we have. 98%, I guess it is, of the world is water.
Yeah, no doubt.
And right, and what's happening now is, look at our oceans, you know. And I would like to see an end to it. But unfortunately, it just keeps going and going and going. And like you said, nobody is listening.
No,
there's a few.
Hey, let me ask you to keep your thought. Do we have you for a second segment today?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Diane Brisky, wonderful author. Now You See Me, from Endangered to Extinction, is the name of the book. Just wonderful book. Please get it for awareness. Frank McKay with Diane Brisky. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.